Thanks so much. Good to be here in the Video Cafe. Want to welcome those of you in the sanctuary and especially those listening online as well. And great to be together this morning. Especially want to welcome you if you're new to CPC, and we're glad that you're here. We're in this series called Cultivate Spiritual Conversations. And we've been doing this the last several weeks as we've been looking at, first we began with noticing, the importance of noticing people, and then listening to one another. And then last week, Scott was preaching about asking good questions. And we see how Jesus is the master in all of these areas. And today we're going to be looking at the topic of welcoming and how important it is for us to be a welcoming church, but especially to be raising this level of hospitality. And so in this series on Cultivate Spiritual Conversation, we're trying to help engage you in this area of evangelism. And oftentimes even that word scares us a little bit, evangelism, the E word, but it's simply just sharing the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we go. So we want to help engage all of our congregation in the area of evangelism and then equip you in how do you cultivate spiritual conversations. So we've been looking at kind of a setup over these last several weeks of some of the things that we need to be aware of. And then next week, we're going to turn the corner a bit and talk about actually how you do engage in those spiritual conversations. So you don't want to miss next week as we dive into that. But so glad that you're here with us this morning. And I want to have you do something that's a little different. We haven't done this before, but there's a purpose behind it. I learned this from Ken Blanchard, who's a management guru. And he did this at a church similar to this, a little bit bigger and more traditional. But I'm going to invite you in just a minute to stand up. And I want you to mill around the room as if you are trying to catch a flight at a very busy airport. So you're not going to give any eye contact to people. This is a big competition, folks, to get on the flight. Think big international airport like San Francisco International Airport. You're trying to grab that cup of coffee before you make it to the flight, so you're not going to talk to anybody. You're just going to mill around the room. I want you to do that in the sanctuary and here in the video cafe. If you are disabled in any way and need to stay seated, that's okay. But the rest of you, get up and mill around the room for 30 seconds. Go. You gotta catch that flight. Get to gate 20 fast. Okay, I'm gonna have you stop right where you are. Don't go back to your seats yet. You're gonna do the very same thing, but now you're gonna have a different mindset. I want you to pretend that you are at a family reunion. Now, as Ken Blanchard says, this obviously presumes that you actually like your family. But I want you to pretend you're at a big family reunion. Greet one another. Ready, set, go. I'm going to invite you to head back to your seats, and the volume in the room here at the Video Cafe, and I'm sure in the sanctuary, has gone way up when we are a family reunion, but head back to your seats if you would. And as you're heading back to your seats, as you sit down, I want you to turn to the person next to you, and if you don't know them, introduce yourself first, but share a time. Talk about a time and a place where you felt the most welcomed, where you felt really welcomed, okay, where you felt like you were at home. So go ahead, talk about a time where you felt really welcomed. All right, I'm going to pull us back together again, if I could. And I'm going to pull us back together in the sanctuary and here in the video cafe. So, you know, it's amazing to see how the volume just goes up in the room when we talk like we're at a family reunion, when we welcome one another. And today I want us to look at this topic of welcoming and really think about how we're doing individually and then together as a church in this area. Because I think often we think we are doing a lot better than we actually are. And this is an area that I think we need to pay a lot of attention to, the area of welcoming and hospitality as a church. So as a church staff, we've been looking at this book called Fusion, which is about turning first-time guests into fully engaged members of the church. And one of the things that we've learned is how important those first 7 minutes are when somebody is just coming onto our campus. This begins actually in the parking lot as somebody drives on and if they can find a space and then the first people they see, how welcoming they are. And this is what the book says. There's just 7 minutes is all you get to make a positive first impression. In the first 7 minutes of contact with your church, your first-time guests will know whether or not they're coming back. They've already made the decision, in other words. That's before a single worship song is sung and before a single word of the message is uttered. Isn't that amazing? It's just that welcome, that initial contact, oftentimes determines for a person whether or not they want to come back again. Well, Jesus is the master of welcoming. And he has a lot to tell us, and God's scripture has a lot to tell us in this area of welcoming and hospitality. And I want to begin, if you would, you can either take out your sermon notes or open your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 15, and it's also on the back of your sermon notes today, and you can follow along with me. But in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, we find this. Luke tells us, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus." We know that many people came to hear Jesus. "But the Pharisees," in other words, those in the church, "and the teachers of the law," all the religious leaders, "they muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Oftentimes, Jesus was constantly trying to include people and reaching out to those that other people wanted to exclude. Well, we want to be a church that welcomes everybody, just in the way that Jesus does. And to welcome people doesn't mean that we affirm sin, but that we offer a welcoming, loving atmosphere and a welcoming attitude. It doesn't condone sin in any way, but it just opens the door for us to welcome people in. You know, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict all of us of sin. And oftentimes we try to take over that role for the Holy Spirit. We don't have to do that. Jesus never came with a word of condemnation, but of truth and of grace and of love. And he calls us to offer that kind of welcome to others as well, just like we've received ourselves, even in the midst of our own sin and brokenness. And so we want to raise that level here at CPC and be a welcoming church. I was noticing this when I was just a couple weeks ago. My family and I flew to Nashville for the first time, and we went to visit my niece, who's in college out there. And we were traveling on Southwest Airlines, and I just love how they've kind of raised the level of hospitality and welcome with that company. And we were sitting on the flight, and we're about to take off, and the flight attendant came on, and she said, "Okay, y'all," and she was from the South, obviously, "welcome all y'all to Southwest Airlines. I want you to turn to the person next to you and introduce yourself." And the plane went silent. She said, "Seriously, I want you to turn to the person next to you and introduce yourself." So we did. And she said, "Now I want you to know that that person sitting next to you, that's your new best friend for the next 4.5 hours that we're on this flight. I want you to get to know them. I want you to hear their story. I want them to hear your story. And who knows, this might be a lifelong friendship for you." And the whole plane, you know, just kind of began to talk and introduce him. My mom was already yapping away at this time with the person right next to her. And then the stewardess went on. She says, "You know, that's how I met my ex-husband." And then she said, "And actually, that's how I met my last 3 ex-husbands." And the whole plane burst into laughter. Now, she was just kidding. But I got to tell you, the volume in that plane went up. And everybody was talking and engaging, and it just changed the whole temperature of the plane. And I thought how great that was. There were several different encounters we had when we were flying on Southwest, and I actually wrote them a letter to affirm them, and especially some of these employees that we met along the way, who really made a wonderful first impression. And I got this email back this week from Southwest. A part of the email said, that's one of the reasons we're called the Love Airlines, L-U-V, they call themselves. We're proud to have employees who are happy, funny, honest, thoughtful, kind, caring, innovative, and courageous. All of this love translates into legendary customer service. You know, it made me think, what about us? What about the church? You know, we have some of the best good news there is, the good news of Jesus Christ. And how are we doing in this area of engaging with other people, of being a welcoming environment? Well, we actually have a director of hospitality, and she's from the South, so she's really good at this. Her name's Kim Warner, and she's a part of our staff here at CBC. She's recently she's actually had a conversation with a younger member of our church, little Tyson Lewis. And so Kim and Tyson are going to come up now, and they're going to tell you a little bit about their story of how Tyson has now become a part of our welcome team. And many people will ask sometimes, how do you become a part of the welcome team at CPC? And I'm here to tell you that if you've been here at CPC for more than 3 weeks, you're on the team. You're part of the welcome team. That's all of us. But Tyson was so excited, he wanted to join the greeter team. So would you welcome Tyson, Lewis, and Kim as they share with us today?
Welcome, y'all. It's good to see you here this morning. I want to tell you a little story, but I want to first introduce our youngest greeter. Tyson, how old are you?
5.
And I have to say, he's probably our best dressed greeter also. Do we not agree? Anyway, last week I was in the patio and Tyson comes running up to me, not walking, but running. He goes, Miss Kim, I want to help you greet. I said, Tyson, that's great. He said, when can I start? I said, how about next Sunday? He runs off to ask his parents, Carly and Robbie. He comes back. He goes, good, we're all good. He says, what time do you want me to be here? I said, how about 8:45? He runs off and asks. He comes back and he says, perfect. So, Tyson, can I ask you just a couple questions? Do you mind? Why did you want to greet Tyson?
Because Miss Kim asked me to.
Thank you, Tyson. Okay, can I ask you one more question? If you could give pointers to anybody that wants to greet, what would you tell them?
Shake your hand, smile, and say hi.
Okay, and I think everybody can do that. Can we all thank Tyson again for being the youngest greeter here at CPC?
Thanks, Tyson. It's great to have Tyson be a part of our greeter team, our welcome team, because at any age, you could do this. And he's showing us just the joy of getting to be able to be a part of that. He was so excited about being a greeter. He went out the night before and picked out his clothes for what he was going to wear to be a greeter. And so we're just delighted to be able to have him a part of our team. Well, on your sermon outlines, they talk about why is welcoming important? And it really has to do with the big idea behind this message, and that's simply this. Welcoming connects people into relationship. It connects people into relationship. It's often that first step, and it lays the groundwork for a relationship to then thrive and grow. Because so often when we welcome people in a way that they feel accepted and loved, their hearts open up. And they're willing to share from their own brokenness, and vulnerability oftentimes comes when you feel like you're in a safe place. And we want to be that because all of us have a story. And all of us are going through a variety of different life experiences, and we need that kind of community, a place of love and acceptance. And so welcoming is often the very first step in helping to start that kind of relationship with somebody else that then will lead to being able to have conversations, and spiritual conversations especially. That's why it's such an important value. So here's the idea. We want to have the kind of eyes that Jesus has, where we actually make eye contact with people when we're talking to them. We notice them, and we try to see what God sees in them. We want to have Jesus kind of ears, so we're listening, and we're asking good questions, and then we're actually paying attention to what people say. We're not formulating our answer already in our head, but we're really listening. We want to also have Jesus' kind of heart. We want to honor the dignity of every single person who comes to CPC and to remember that everyone has a story. One of the things I try to remind myself, I actually ask the Lord to remind me of this every day, is that every single person I meet, no matter where I am, is a person who matters deeply to God. And so every person you lock eyes with, to remember that and to know that God cares about them. And then we want to have the open hands of Jesus. We don't want to do this when we're talking to people or doing this, which we see so often in trying to have a conversation with folks. But we want to be open to being in relationship with people and to help them to know that they're important, that we want to talk to them. And we want to have the kind of feet that Jesus would want us to have. And if that means if somebody's looking for a place or they look like they're a little lost, that instead of just pointing to where they should go, we actually walk with them. We take them to that place. You know, I love it when I see that happening here at CPC. And one of the women that do this so well is Gail Faber, who often worships with us over in the sanctuary. And she's one of our older members, but she sits in a different place every single Sunday so that she can meet new people. And then I will often see her before worship taking someone to a children's ministry classroom or just showing them around our campus. And she's raising that level of welcome and hospitality. And that's exactly what we want to do. So let me get a little bit even more personal when you're sitting here in worship, either in the video cafe or in the sanctuary, and you have that prime aisle seat, and somebody may be coming into worship late, and they're coming into your row, what do you do? Do you lean back and just make them go past you? Or do you scoot over and make room for them with a smile? Well, if you love Jesus, you scoot. But if you're just kind of into your own and want your own place and into your own needs, you stay put. We want to provide a welcoming environment. No matter what time someone's coming into worship, we're glad they're here. And it often begins with our face and how we respond to people, what kind of welcome we give people. So why does this matter so much? Because we have a God who loves everybody and wants people to know that they're welcome. It's just that simple. Everybody matters to God, every one of us. I experienced this when I went to, when we were in Nashville, we went to church with my niece, and she goes to Cross Point Church in Nashville. And our whole family went, and as soon as we got out of the car, I started to see these people in t-shirts, their greeter team. And they had these blue t-shirts that just simply said, "Everybody's welcome." And I just love that. And as we walked onto their campus and into their lobby, we were greeted probably 5 or 6 times, each one of us. And they showed us where the coffee was and welcomed us onto their campus. I got to tell you, by the time we took our seats in the sanctuary, do you think we felt welcome to that church? It was one of the most welcoming environments that I've seen. And when I was back in the lobby, I saw this sign up on the wall, and I took a picture of it because I thought it was such a great reminder to their entire church and to me especially. I refuse to let one person go unnoticed. You know, what if we took on that kind of mindset? How important it is for us to have those eyes like Jesus has of noticing every single person and remembering that that person matters. And I think that's a value we want to raise up here. We often talk about, as we invite our new members in, how they're people who are coming to CPC for the very first time are often looking around, and I've told you this, of they're just wondering, can I find a friend here? Are people going to notice me? Are they going to listen? Are they going to ask questions and want to get to know me for me? And we want to definitely say yes to those questions. And a few weeks ago, we welcomed a lot of our new members into church and had an opportunity to baptize them. And we baptized an entire family, the Campy family, over in the sanctuary. And they have three kids, and their mom and dad were all baptized that day. And I loved getting to baptize their three children, Tiger, Phoenix, and Echo, two girls and a boy. I love those names. And the other elder, Jeff LaTondres, and I got down on our knees, and we just were face to face with the kids as we were baptizing them and welcoming them into God's family and to CPC and letting them know how much God loves them. Well, a few days ago, the Campy family came in, and little Tiger, who's 5 years old, presented me with this picture that she drew of me. This is a self-portrait. And I just love this because she gave it to me. And on the back, she said, "Dear Pastor Kathy, thank you for baptizing me." And she gave me this picture. But I notice how big the eyes are. And I just love that. I'm going to hang that up in my office just as a reminder of how important it is that we notice people, that we give eye contact to people and help people to know that they're welcome here, because God welcomes us. And it all begins with God's welcome of us. And we see this from the very beginning of Scripture, of how it's God who takes the initiative to welcome us. And then he calls us to be like Christ in offering love and unconditional love and acceptance to people, offering that kind of hospitality. From the very beginning of Genesis all the way through the Bible, we see the ways that God does this. And I want to pull out just some scripture in the New Testament that talks about how we need to raise up this level of hospitality and welcome here at CPC. Beginning in Acts chapter 28, it tells us there was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. That's a lot of hospitality for the Apostle Paul and the group of friends he was traveling with, opening up our homes and inviting people in. And then from 3 John, we ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. From Romans chapter 12, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. There's a number of other scriptures that I put on the back of your outlines that show how important it is that we offer this kind of generous hospitality and generous welcome to people. Jesus modeled the value of welcoming together in community to experience the kind of care and love that he had as he interacted with people. He came alongside, especially those who were considered to be on the outside, and he invited them in. It didn't matter what walk of life or their spiritual background, and he calls us to do the same. And Jesus wasn't asking people to agree with him before he welcomed them, but he simply extended that love and grace, and he calls us to do the same. I love this definition of hospitality. It's simply this: hospitality is making space for someone you don't have to make space for. And that's exactly what God does. When God was creating the earth, he was making space for people. He didn't have to do this, but he wanted to do it. God wanted to have a relationship with us, and God took the initiative to include us. We know that God himself is a God of relationships, God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And we see that every time we look at the cross. When I look at that vertical beam, I'm reminded of this relationship that God wants with us, and that's why he sent us his Son, Jesus Christ. And then that horizontal beam that just goes out to remind us of how God has included all people. He wants to have a relationship with every single one of us. And it simply begins by surrendering our lives to Jesus and inviting Jesus to come in. God welcomes us, but he waits for us to take that initial step to welcome him into our hearts. And God wants us to be doing that. Well, this was really the first movement of its kind that said, we want to create a community where there's no more them, where everybody's invited to be us. You see, the circle is drawn wider to include everyone. Before I came here to CPC, where I've been serving for almost 9 years now, I was at Walnut Creek Presbyterian Church as a pastor for 10 years. And I'll never forget this one sermon that our senior pastor at the time preached, John Westfall, as he talked about this whole mentality of us versus them. And he said this, look, we've got to stop the us and them game. You know, outsider, insider, contemporary, traditional worship style, younger people, older people. We have to stop the us and them game. Because it's not us and them around here. It's just us and all the us's that don't know they're us's yet. I just love that because I think that's exactly what Jesus models for us and why he came. This is Jesus' story as he was constantly welcoming those that others tried to include, that others thought was the them. He invited them in. The Good Samaritan, the woman at the well, the tax collector, the woman caught in adultery, the outcast, the prodigal, especially those who are lost. And that includes you and me until we're found by Christ. I love the story of the prodigal son that's found in Luke chapter 15 because it demonstrates the heart of the Father so well. Tyler preached about this a few weeks ago, but he talked about how the younger son, as we know, asked for his inheritance early. And that was as though at that time asking the father for something like that was like saying, I wish you were dead. Give me all that is mine now. And so he takes his inheritance and he goes off, as we know, and he squanders all of it to the point where he's just left feeding the pigs and he realizes how horrible his life has become. And he thinks about going back to his father again, where even the servants are fed better than he was being fed at that time. And so he heads back, as we know, with the tail between his legs, and you could just imagine him thinking about what he was going to say when he saw his father again. But little did he know that his father was actually waiting for him. I love the picture of just thinking of him on the front porch, just waiting for his son to come home. And as he does, we find in Luke chapter 15, Luke tells us this, but while he was still a long way off, while that younger son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And as we know, the older brother wasn't too happy about this, and he didn't want to join in the celebration. And how often that can be true of us. When we exclude people and we don't want to welcome them. But Luke tells us, as Jesus helps to describe for us, the heart of the Father. And the heart of the Father is always on search mode. The heart of the Father is always looking to call people into a relationship and to help them know that they have a place at his table, that we can have God as our home in our own hearts. And God offers that for us and wants us also to be welcoming to those around us as we help to see, even those people who are lost, that they can be found. And that's the story for each one of us. I was just listening to a story from one of our CPCers who said, you know, I came here years ago lost, but now I've been found. And now I'm experiencing God's love. And I hope that story could be true for every single person who comes into CPC and how important it is that we're raising up this value as well. God welcomes all of us, and he wants us to be welcoming to one another as we extend the love and grace of Christ. And it helps connect people into relationship when we have that kind of welcoming spirit. And when we raise up that level of hospitality, it helps us to engage in conversation with people and then eventually leads to having spiritual conversations when people begin to build a trust with us. So we want to give you an action step in being a part of that welcome or greeter team. Many of you have never had a chance to do that, and that's why we're asking you to fill out these bulletin inserts today and join the team this Christmas. This Christmas is a wonderful time for you to be able to get connected in serving, either as a greeter, an usher, or in other ways, and provide that kind of warm welcome. You know, Christmas time is a time people come to church more often than any other time of the year. And we really want to raise up this value here at CPC, but we need to all be on the team together. And so I want to just encourage you to do that if you haven't filled that out. So let me look at the aspects of welcoming, and it really has to do with three things that we want to be reminded of: our face, and our space, and our place. And as far as our face, we saw the smile of Tyson, as we know, who helps us to see how important just that initial smile of welcoming people. We know a lot of people who walk around often with just kind of a frown on their face, or they just don't really exude the joy of Christ, right? And look kind of grumpy. A lot of believers do this, and I've had conversations with them, and I'll say, hey, you know, how come you're not more joyful? And they'll, you know, do the frown and look at you and say, what do you mean? I'm joyful. And then you say, well, somebody ought to tell your face today about that. And that's often true for us. Our faces really exude the kind of welcome. And we need to be smiling and interacting with people. And that's even from the very beginning. Our space and our places are also very important. If we're standing like this talking to someone, we're not really exuding a warm welcome. You know, or if we're talking on our cell phones, the environment in which we are, like our offices, our homes, we can be welcoming people in and providing that kind of environment. And God, Jesus shows us how to do this all the time. And we saw that in Scripture as well. We need to be opening up our homes. And many times we're afraid to even invite somebody over to our house because we think we have to make everything look perfect first. But we don't. It's so good for people to see us just the way we live and be okay. That's why I love that we did a sermon one time on having refrigerator rights for people, that they are welcome in, even into our refrigerator, and that we offer that kind of warm welcome and invitation in. Welcoming can be practiced anywhere, wherever you are, wherever your space and place takes you. It could be on BART, it could be in your school, it could be in your home, your office, all sorts of different places where we can provide that kind of welcoming environment for people. So here's the deal. Everybody is welcome, but they don't know it until somebody invites them. And there are thousands of people here in the Bay Area who may be just one invitation away from really getting to know Jesus and being able to be invited into a relationship with him. But it starts with an invitation, and it starts with that kind of warm welcome. So I want to encourage you today to invite somebody. Invite them to lunch, or invite them to your home for dinner, or invite them to church to come and be a part of our worship service here. This Christmas is a great opportunity for us to do this, to just say a simple statement like, hey, you should come with me to church sometime. And you'd be surprised at how many people will take you up on that invitation. As you get to know people, and as they get to know you and you build a relationship with them. We want to be a church that opens up not only our hearts in love and care of people, but our homes and our church as well as we invite people in. Do you know one of the things that Jesus is doing right now? And we find this in John's gospel. Jesus said to his friends when he was leaving this earth, I'm going to go to my Father, and my Father's house has many rooms. Hospitality is making space for somebody you don't have to make space for. And then Jesus said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. In other words, I'm making a space. That's what Jesus does at a great cost. It's free to us, but it cost God everything. It cost him his only son. And Jesus willingly went to the cross. He gave his life for you and for me so that we might have the forgiveness of sin, that we might have an opportunity to be welcomed home and to know that we have that relationship today with God right now, and also that we look forward to a forever relationship with God in eternity when one day we will be welcomed home and get to see Jesus face to face. I pray we'll be a church that raises the bar in this level of hospitality and welcome, and we're all a part of the team. Would you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that in a world that divides the human race up into us versus them so much of the time, where there's hostility, bitterness, suspicion, mistrust, violence, war between peoples, sometimes hatred between racial groups and brokenness in family, there's this family called the church, and everybody is welcome here. It doesn't matter. Young, old, black, white, poor, wise, foolish, rich. Thank you, God, that you welcomed us, even in the midst of our own sin, and you offered us forgiveness. Thank you, God, for Jesus, the best gift of all, who still meets us right where we are and calls us to be part of his family by faith. Thank you that it's your desire to welcome us home. And so, God, we pray in the name of Jesus today. And for those who may not have asked Jesus to come into their hearts, they have been holding out on that. God, I just pray for folks today who may be wanting to welcome you into their life, because that's really where it begins, where we welcome you into our hearts, God. And if you're in that place today, I just want to invite you to pray with me this prayer and ask Jesus to come in and to reside in your heart. As he stands at the door and knocks, as Scripture tells us, he waits for us to welcome him in. And so, Lord, I pray this prayer and just ask you to echo these words in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong in my life, and I ask for your forgiveness, and I ask for your grace. God, forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit, and I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit and be with me forever. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray, our risen and reigning Christ. Amen. I want to hand it back over to the sanctuary. Thanks so much for being with us today. And here in the video cafe, I want to invite Bill up.